Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad Culp. It's January 11th. I've got Sam Grass and Trevor Wolford in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brad. How are you this unseasonably warm Christmas, winter day?
Winter day. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I'm okay. Doing well.
Okay, Tim. It's okay.
It does feel like the holidays are finally over because I sent my son back to school on Sunday. You know, we've now had that the last college football game, so you know, full steam ahead in the new year, I guess.
You're absolutely right, and I'm sure all those who have grown children understand that you do watch them leave to go back to school, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, where did it go?
Time to go back to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we got a great show this morning. Here in the studio, we have, in Atlanta, we have Sue Sharp from Mobility Express. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And in Dallas, we have Kevin Ritz hosting the show, and we have his guest, Jason Prado. And without further ado, we're going to send it over to Kevin in Dallas.
All right, thanks, guys. I am joined in Dallas today by Mr. Jason Prado, who is an independent consultant that helps individuals buy and sell vehicles, and he has a particular heart for helping seniors make sure that they're getting the best deal possible and not being taken to the cleaners, as they say, in the automotive industry. Jason, let's start out by having you give us a little bit of your background, maybe where you're from and how you got to be where you are today.
Well, Kevin, thank you for having me on your show, first of all. And I've been in the business for 27 years. My uncle was in the automotive industry, and I was in the construction field at a young age. And I always had a passion for vehicles. When I was young, my dad would take me to the dealership lots and walk me around on Sundays to go look at all the cars. So there's always been a passion for vehicles. But when I was in construction, once again, my uncle was in the business, and he was manager of a big new vehicle franchise dealership. And he kept on asking me over a year's period of time, Jason, you'd be good for the business. You're a people person, and come on, you know, you'll do good. So I had a really good job. It was a month before I was going to get married. And lo and behold, I made a change without my wife's approval or knowledge.
Oh, no.
Yes. So there you go. That started my career in the automotive industry. And over time, I worked my way up from salesperson to sales manager to F&I manager to general sales manager to general manager to dealer to managing partner, all the way up. I had the privilege of having my own dealership for many years, and I loved the business. And but my passion lies somewhere else, and my passion lies where I can help people more on the other side. And and obviously, you know, things have occurred in the past to where, first of all, there are good dealers, and there are some dealers that could do a little bit better than what they do and how they treat people. And everybody's entitled to a fair deal, but beyond fair is probably what gets my blood pressure going. And that's where I like to step in and help. And but it can get worse.
Yeah.
And I like to try to prevent that.
Right. So imagine from your experience in the field, that gives you a unique perspective to know the inner workings of how a deal works, how a deal goes down.
Start to finish, yes.
And so you kind of alluded to it, but you had a personal experience that kind of brought you around to the other side to help people prevent
Yes.
That's it from happening. Can you share a little bit about what it was and how you got to do this now?
Well, one of the two experiences I'd like to share with you really touches close to home. My mother-in-law, who lives out of city from where we live, she, at that time, let's just say she's in her mid-70s, and her husband is in his 80s. They wanted a vehicle, and lo and behold, they just on a Saturday afternoon drove to a dealership. And she tells me to this day that, her husband kind of pushed her that way. Hey, come on, let's go. We can do this. So they ended up buying a new vehicle. I won't say the brand or the make or anything like that, but and they were excited about it. And of course, my wife says, Mom, why didn't you call Jason? Well, George wanted me to go and kind of pushed, and we just stayed there all day, and it just happened. So probably about 4 to 5 months after that, she reached out to her daughter, my wife Kim, and said, I'm not happy with the car. Can you get Jason to help me get out of the car and then have him find me another vehicle that she used to drive, another make and model? And so Kim came to me, said yes, or told me about the story and that she bought a vehicle. So I said, yeah, I'll help her. So I called her up, and I called her grandma, and I said, Grandma, I said, I can help you. I said, but first let's start off by sending me all the paperwork. So she mailed the paperwork. And being in the business for a long time, right away when you're reviewing documents, buyer's orders, financial contracts, you're just familiar with them and what they should look like and what they shouldn't. But in going through the paperwork, I knew right away when you look into the amount finance box, if they had a down payment or clear title to their trade, the amount finance box should be relatively close or below what the original MSRP is on a vehicle. But this was a great deal higher because she asked me to get a payoff on her trade. And when I got the payoff, I thought right away to my mind, this sounds too high. So in reviewing the documents, it turns out that the vehicle that she purchased was sold to her several thousands of dollars over MSRP or the sticker price. Not only that, but the trade allowance that they gave her was probably off by about $2,000.
Wow.
And then, when you finance your car, you go through the finance office, and they have some great products. I encourage my kids to this day, make sure you get a service contract. They do. They have great product, great value, great product offered, but there's some things that individuals just don't need. So on the back end of the financial agreement was probably about $3,000, closer to $4,000 worth of products that they just simply didn't need. Not at their age, they don't drive that much. And so I was really shocked, very shocked, very upset. And I knew right away that they were taken advantage of. So when I spoke to her, and of course, that's a touchy subject because you want to make sure that you don't cross the line to say, you didn't know what you were doing. And because at that age, sometimes they'll be defensive and say, hey, we can do it, But finally, she was at the point to where I had to tell her, I told her, Grandma, I said, y'all paid way too much. I said, listen, it's okay to pay a fair price, especially if you're treated real good and the dealer really takes good care of you. But to overpay in three ways, and let me break them down to you, and I told her. Now, prior to that conversation, I was able to get by the VIN number, I was able to retrieve the window sticker of the vehicle. And through some of the manufacturers, if you have contacts or connections, you can call and you can get the actual invoice. And that's what I did. So I would know exactly where I was. And in anticipation of calling the dealer back and going to bat and going to fight from my mother-in-law. So that's how I was able to arrive at the numbers. So I said, Grandma, I said, we can do one or two things. I said, you can let it go, or if I were you, I would give it a shot. Let's contact a dealer and let's see if they're a good dealer, they're going to help us. And I said, so what do you want to do? And she says, well, let's go ahead and contact them. Will you do that for me? And I said, absolutely. So I started the process. And that took a while because nobody wanted to return my call. You have to go through the privacy. You have to respect the privacy laws. So we had to fax over something to the dealership, giving them permission to speak to me.
Right,
because the contract was done with my mother-in-law. So we got past that hurdle, and I went up through the chain of command, the general sales manager. The salesperson wasn't there anymore. Spoke to the general sales manager, waited for his return call, did not get a return phone call, called again, very courteous, very polite, saying, hey, we just need some help, something's not right, can somebody help us out? No response. So then, probably 3 weeks later, I started to reach out to the general manager to let him know, hey, you know, I've been trying to call your general sales manager, no callback, no action, and I need some help. And this is what happened, and it was briefly on a message. He did call me back a few days later. Very defensive, though, I might say. The first thing out of the person's mouth or the manager's mouth was, you know, well, everybody's entitled to a profit, and that's what we did. And is she happy? He asked me, well, is she happy with the car? And I said, yeah, she's extremely happy, but this is what we're not happy about. So I told him, I said, listen, I understand everybody's entitled to a profit because that's how you make your living. That's how you take care of your family. That's how everybody does. But to sell a vehicle for almost $4,000 over a window sticker, would you agree with that? And it took him some time, but finally he agreed. I said, I told him, put yourself in my shoes if this was your mom. And this is me talking to the general manager. Just put yourself in my shoes. Finally, after I kind of positioned it for him to look at it that way, he started to better interact with me and say, maybe we can do something. So we started that process, and it started to move the needle, but it still took a couple of weeks. So he gave us the ability to cancel some of the financial products, but there was one that we could not cancel, and that's tricky in the business. They couldn't undo the contract, what was already done, but I was able to get them to give her a refund.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, we were able to get back for her, I looked it up just a couple of days ago, like $4,100. So she still lost out to the tune of probably an additional $3,000.
Right.
But $4,100 is a lot of money, and I felt that, you know, that was a win. That was good for her, good for her husband, and I felt good. And now prior to the dealer agreeing to do this, It took time. They didn't really want to do it, but I just shared with them. I said, listen, I said, I really don't want to go there, but my mother-in-law has lived in your community for a long time, and she's part of the Red Hats and part of a lot of senior citizen groups. I said, you really don't want that to get around, do you? I mean, I asked them that. Do you really want that to get around? Because, you know, war travels fast, and he never gave me an answer, but I know he thought about that. But so anyway, at the end of the day, we were happy we were able to get her $4,100 back almost 5 months later after she purchased the vehicle. And I encourage anybody that if they're unsure about a transaction, go back through their paperwork. Look it up. If it doesn't feel good, it may not be good. And ask their kids, ask somebody, and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
So, what are some of the ways that you, when you're working with people on not being taken advantage of by dealers and making sure they get the best deal? What are some things that you tell people to kind of look out for?
It's got to feel good first and foremost. It has to feel good and not be rushed. That's the first thing. Not be rushed. No matter if it feels good, don't ever make an impulse buy on an automobile. It's just my recommendation. Do your due diligence. Whether it's you have the capability to do the due diligence or somebody else does for you, do your due diligence. Get a second and third opinion. That's what I do today. When somebody's seeking a vehicle, I pick up the phone and I speak to a minimum of three dealers because it's very competitive and they're all out to sell cars, and you'd be surprised on how you can work the numbers down and get them to where they're happy. Number one, they're happy and they're making a good profit, but the consumer's happy. You know, so always, always look to get a second and third opinion from or another price quote. And the same thing with the trade-in. There's so many variables that go that are attached to a vehicle transaction. You have the initial sale price of the vehicle. You have aftermarket items that are attached to the vehicle that increase the sale. Okay, some of them people say you have to take them. Some dealers say you don't. Once again, there's great dealers out there, and there's some that, you know, they just walk that line. You have your trade-in. What's your trade-in worth? You know, do you know the worth of your trade-in? A lot of people don't, mm-hmm. and they walk in blind, and they rely on the dealer. So you have the trade-in component, and then, of course, you have the financial component that goes along with it, the financing, the APR, the products that are attached to the business office that some are really good, and as I mentioned to you earlier, I purchase them. Some of them recommend my kids to purchase them, but there are some that, you know, the markup is great. And if you know, there's always room to negotiate. But those are the three variables that you want to look after. And after you purchase a vehicle, there's service. There's a service variable side too that everyone, especially the senior citizens, should be aware what you need and what you don't need. Because, you know, dollars are hard to come by.
Right.
And if you can save a few dollars here and a few dollars there by knowing and having the knowledge what to look for and what not to take or whatever, it's definitely going to help the pocketbook.
Yeah. So what if somebody were to use you as a consultant to help with the process, what can they expect when they first contact you?
Well, the first thing I like to share with them is a little bit about me, my passion, why I do what I do now, and share with them how I can help them or how I can guide them down the right path. A lot of folks can do it on their own.
Right.
But some folks are just not born to negotiate a vehicle transaction or a home transaction or furniture or what have you.
Well, times change. You know, I'm thinking about my grandparents right now who have maybe bought four cars in the past 30 years. And so, you know, if you go 10 years between when you buy vehicles, a lot can change.
A lot can change.
So
a lot can change.
Yeah, talking to somebody like you with a great knowledge of the industry, I imagine, could be very valuable.
It's a moving target.
Right.
Being in the business, you stay up on all the incentives, all the rebates that are crucial to the final price of a vehicle. And let me add this. Dealers get factory-to-dealer incentives that are not what they would call on-the-hood rebates that the consumer doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Now, that information is available out to on different search engines, but a lot of people don't know how to go get that information. So it's accessible. However, they just don't know. And in most cases, a dealer is not going to give that up.
Right.
But once again, the good dealers with a good reputation and accredited Better Business Bureau scores and great customer satisfaction through the manufacturers, they do give it up. They're transparent. So I'd like to make that perfectly clear. There are dealers there that just are transparent, show you everything, and you walk out feeling good.
That's good. What do you find most rewarding about what you do?
After helping grandma, it's just what's rewarding is that I helped somebody else. And it was a sense of accomplishment that I did help somebody who didn't know how to do a transaction. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely will help them down the line. And if I help them, they're going to share it with somebody else. And just by the few things that they learn, maybe they can help somebody else. But it's just simply rewarding. And I just have to tell you is that as we get older, sometimes, our minds are not where we were when we were 30 and 40 years old. And we all need help. I mean, even us at younger ages, we need help in areas that we're not familiar with, and we seek help. So it's just it's definitely a feel good when I can help somebody in a situation.
Yeah.
Very rewarding.
Yeah, I agree. If you had a piece of advice that you could share with seniors or their loved ones that would just help them navigate the carbine waters, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to never make a purchase in the same day. Never go by yourself. Take somebody else. I would say if you don't have somebody to take, then have, if you don't have a child that can make the call, an adult child, reach out to a family member or a very close friend that you trust that knows numbers, and just have a second set of ears along with them. Do your research, do your due diligence, compare, because dealers will be aggressive and they will lower pricing to sell cars, because that's how they make their money, is moving new vehicle metal, so to speak. That's a terminology. And then once again, if they don't have somebody like that, then reach out to an expert, whoever it may be.
It's great advice, Jason. If our listeners want to get in touch with you about, maybe they have some questions about this or anything else, how would they get in touch with you?
Great, Kevin. They can reach me on my personal email at jprado, that's jprado61@AOL.com, and they can reach me on my personal cell phone at 214-725-0516.
All right, Jason, again, thank you very much for joining us.
Great, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
And we'll send it back to the folks in Atlanta.
Kevin, thank you very much. Jason, thank you for being with us. And now we're going to turn our attention to Atlanta and Sue Sharp with Mobility Express. Again, good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
We appreciate you being here this morning. Why don't we start by having you just give us a little bit of background on who you are, where you grew up, where you went to school, how you got to be where you are today.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Actually, I grew up in the panhandle of Florida, and for 27 years I worked for Delta Airlines. And then it came a time when my husband said it was a good package for retirement and I should take it. So I did, unwillingly so, and then got into the nonprofit arena. And soon thereafter, I found that I had had an accident and I needed some medical equipment for getting around my home. And as I laid there in bed with my laptop and began exploring, I found that there really wasn't a lot of opportunity for getting the proper medical equipment that you needed. One thing led to another, and my husband and I now are the owners of Mobility Express. My driving factor behind buying a business was to buy a business where we were filling a need, not a want. And it definitely has been a very rewarding experience so far, and a grand and glorious ride that we're on. We're 2 years into the business and loving every minute of it.
So was Mobility Express an established business already? Or?
Yes, actually it was, and we did a stock purchase as to retain the Medicare billing coding, et cetera, so that we could to have a seamless purchase of it. So it was in existence here in Atlanta. There are 27 Mobility Expresses throughout the United States, but they're each individually owned and operated. They are not a franchise.
And what? Tell us what Mobility Express brings to the market. What is it that you do?
The uniqueness of Mobility Express, especially for the entire Atlanta area, is there is no other store of our size and caliber that offers firsthand capabilities for the families, the loved ones, the patients, to come in and see a 5,000-square-foot store filled with all types of items that can make their life safer, easier, more productive, and really enhance the quality of their life through not only the aging process but also a handicap process, as it may be.
So what you're saying is one of the unique factors about Mobility Express is that people can come in and actually see the items, touch them, try them out. Is that?
That's correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, we have everything in our showroom from a fully tricked out car, as we call it, all the way to wheelchairs, a bedroom setup, bathrooms, etc.
And interesting, you the first item there, a tricked out car. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What are you referring to there?
On our vehicles, we specialize in adding the vehicle lift for the mobility devices that we also sell. So those can be interior and exterior lifts for items such as power scooters or power wheelchairs, et cetera. And then there are seats that we can convert so that you can actually have a seat that's remote control. Your actual passenger seat can come out and down so that you can transition out of your chair safely and adequately and then remote control yourself back up into the car.
What is the most common item that people are looking for when they come in to see you?
You know, it's interesting you asked that, Brad, because we asked that of the former owner when we were looking to purchase it, and part of our due diligence was really to drill down to that. And one week we may sell a world of lift chairs, and the next week or 2 weeks we're seeing stair lifts going 90 to nothing. We do the installation of stair lifts, and then right at Christmas time, we had several of the in-home ceiling lifts that we did an install. So I would love to be able to say this is our golden nugget, but we find that it's, you know, at the need of the customers.
Go back to a ceiling lift. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I know what that is, but tell me specifically.
Those are for your loved ones who are confined for their movement totally. So we're talking similar to like a Hoyer lift.
Okay.
And this lift picks them up. We have a wonderful customer who, you know, his wife, they both are up there in years, and his wife can actually just remote control him, pick him up out of bed, put him in the shower, then get him in his chair, and then take him into his den. And it's all done on a ceiling lift that runs throughout the home. My husband brings to the table, his experience was 27 years in construction. Mm-hmm. And in particular, he did home renovations. And so in knowing that, he brings to the table that ability to look at the home and evaluate the needs for the stair lifts and the ceiling lifts and know where the integrity of the walls are, et cetera, for load bearing and all that go with that.
It's got to be a great asset because I'm sure every lift is unique. Every installation is unique.
You're right. Yeah. You're 100% right, Sam. They are, and yet they are so valuable. I think the one unique thing about our store is we're not just there for the patient. We're really there for the caregiver, the loved ones, because their safety is as important as that of the patient. And if they don't have the proper equipment and don't even know that the equipment exists, their job can be, you know, tenfold times harder than it really needs to be.
Yeah, and we see, and as we were discussing before the show with Griswold, we obviously see the largest problem or the biggest problem we have with caregivers and being injured or hurt, obviously, are those related to trying to lift.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very much so. We offer for you to send your caregivers in to get a hands-on experience with the various Hoyer lifts and to, you know, come in with another caregiver so they can put one in the lift and try the other one, especially for those that maybe it's been a little while since they've been doing that, you know.
Right. I think that right there, having a caregiver
be lifted,
exactly.
It's huge.
Boy, that should open their eyes as to what the client is experiencing, and
yeah,
then being able to relate to the client as they're being lifted.
I had a customer in yesterday, Sam, and he was the husband, and I had him get in, and boy, it opened his eyes to what his wife was facing and how her hesitancies. He could see them and be more empathetic for and help to alleviate those fears, because it is a necessity. So,
Sue, you mentioned when you were talking about purchasing the business, the notion of keeping the Medicare mm-hmm. number. And so obviously Medicare pays for some of this stuff. How does that work? Because some of these items are very costly, and I can't imagine Medicare covers it all.
No, they don't. Unfortunately, they don't. And I say really trying to meet the confines of Medicare has turned into shooting for a moving target. It one week it's these prerequisites, and the next week they seem to vary. But by and large, we can walk you through the different processes. They are going to look at mobility devices, number one, and that is for in the home only. That's the misconception. When you see the pictures on TV of someone outside riding around, Medicare really only cares about your in-home mobility for completing your activities of daily living, from your bedroom to your bathroom, your bedroom to your kitchen. So there are a lot of nuances with the Medicare that we are happy to share and walk the family through it just as much as the person themselves.
Yeah, and I have a lot of experience dealing in Medicare and those issues. And the listeners just have to understand it's not you or
right.
Griswold. We're doing absolutely the best we know how.
Right.
And the problem is that we as business owners sometimes don't know which regulatory agent's knocking on our door that week.
That's true.
And depending upon which one it is, they might absolutely contradict what the previous one.
That's exactly right.
And
you're
100% yeah.
right. You're just
I mean, as you said,
amazed.
It's a moving target, mm-hmm. and it's not black and white. Mm-hmm. And every issue related to Medicare is unique.
Right.
So are there any generalizations at all that you can make with respect to what might be covered by Medicare? So, for example, a wheelchair or a lift chair or things that are absolutely not covered, and I think you
right.
mentioned out of the home. So
yes, I can say that by and large, you look through the progression of the mobility. Does a cane satisfy it? Then, if not, is a walker what the person needs? And then you move on to power mobility device and/or a manual wheelchair. It's not a slam dunk just because a doctor writes a prescription.
Right.
It's according to what the diagnosis code is and how it relates to mobility and how that, in fact, impairs the client's need for being able to safely maneuver about in the house to actually fulfill those activities of daily living.
So have you seen Medicare cover stair lifts or
never.
Ceiling
right.
That's transfers? No.
Good question. No, they will not cover the stair lifts. We do pride ourselves as being certified with our elevator license, et cetera, to install those, and they are really life-enhancing. Medicare is not going to cover those. They don't cover the lifts on your vehicles, for instance. Mm. And it's a quandary why they don't, because in many ways that's the quality of life. But here again, it is what it is, and we have to work within those confines.
Again, I sit here and you saw me shaking my head, and though I have 20-some years dealing with this, it still baffles me. Why do you not cover a stair lift, or more importantly, transportation, a lift for a car? That's the regulation. So, yeah.
Yes.
Brad just pointed out to me it all has to do with money, and he's right. So, why did you choose this particular business? I mean, I know you said you wanted to fill a need, but what is it that what need do you really enjoy fulfilling?
Well, I can say it honestly. Like I was very touched this past week because a young person came in and she'd even mentioned me as thanking me in the obituary of losing her mom this past week. We do strive to. I had never met her mother. I had just coached her through the whole process, and we strive and are compassionate. We offer 24-hour day, 7 days a week service. So if that power mobility chair breaks down, you can call us, and we're there. And I think that speaks to our commitment and to our level of caring for not just selling the product, but seeing to it that that product is making a life change that's valuable to the family and to the customer.
I guess two parts to this question, and I'm gathering, do you have a rental program?
We do. Thank you for bringing that up. We do, because so oftentimes I'll say to the family, let's just rent it and make sure that's really going to work for you. A lot of people are going to purchasing their own power chairs now, and we will rent it to them for a month and let them see how that works out. We'll rent ramps. We rent knee walkers. We're big in the knee walker business. That's for if you've had injuries to your foot or ankle. And there are little scooters that go around, but we rent the manual wheelchairs. We do not rent lift chairs for obvious reasons, but we find that the rental program works very, very well for the family as much as for the patient themselves.
And then the second part of this question, as when someone buys a mobility chair, a power chair, and the client or the patient passes away, what can be done with that chair at that point?
Well, it depends on really where the source of funding came from. If the source of funding came from Medicare, and it is within the 13 months, because now Medicare, where I purchase the chair, deliver the chair to the client, they pay me over 13 months. If we lose our customer during those 13 months, the family is obligated to return that chair because it has not been completely paid for. So it is considered a lease program. After 13 months, the family owns the chair. Quite often we get calls and they say, oh, I've got this $5,000 chair. Would you like to buy it? Right. And to be honest with you, if it's a chair that we have sold and we have maintained, we might consider looking at it because we have the history on it. But the, you know, by and large, people are just trying to sell them outright or do whatever. Yeah. And It could be a very slippery slope, so we're very cautious on that.
You're not in the used car business.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So what can a family do with that equipment? I can't imagine, well, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't seem like there'd be a huge resale market for that, but then, you know,
well,
as
there,
I
yeah, there kind of is,
think
actually.
There might be.
There really kind of is. I mean, We do a lot of resale of our floor models and of some of our rental equipment, for instance. And that affords some families who are, say, buying a second chair because Medicare only buys one mobility device every 5 years. So let's say they need a second chair because of arrangement of the household and they need one up and one down, et cetera. So there is a market for used chairs. We don't advise our customers to buy on Craigslist. It's like buying a used car. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
And yet, if they want to bring it to us and we can evaluate it for them and check the batteries, et cetera, we'd be happy to do that.
And if someone can't sell it, if they want to donate it, are you aware of?
I am. There's an agency called FODACT out in Stone Mountain that is very good for that.
And just to plug them, FODAC's going to be a guest on their show in the next couple of weeks, so that's
great.
Good. Sue, I also know that in speaking with you, that you're involved with an organization up in North Fulton County that has an upcoming event. So I'm going to give you the freedom to speak it just a little bit about it.
All right.
And what's going on. No big details.
Right.
No, I know
right.
like you're on the pressure cooker.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's always good to be able to plug something for publicity's sake. And it is the annual fundraiser for the Senior Services of North Fulton. And we are the Meals on Wheels for North Fulton and the agency that offers all types of programs for the seniors of the area. So our fundraiser is February 10th
at the Atlanta Athletic Club. And I'm not certain of the time, but we'll
think it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
and it's a Friday night.
Right.
And we welcome y'all to get in touch with me or Senior Services North Fulton.
And we on the show will have more information related to that event as it gets closer.
Thanks.
But I know that as you're on the committee, and we just wanted to
thank
you
the
opportunity.
Thank you so much for supporting that. We as a business greatly support the services they offer.
Is there a warm and fuzzy type story that maybe you have with a client that you can relate to our listening audience that or just some story that touches your heart. I know what you said about the young lady earlier.
Yeah, that was very touching this week to have her come in and bring me a copy of the obituary and to see that she thanked me for that, which was over and beyond anything that I had truly expected. But you know, there's little rewards every day in the blessings of what we do, and seeing the families and having that phone call and them saying, we also do a lot of work with the Veterans Association, and we are delivering goods on a daily basis for the veterans who have been wounded and need special needs. So that is very, very rewarding. In particular, our techs that are doing those deliveries, I'm envious, if you want to know the truth, because they get to be there with the veterans. I have a great compassion for the service that they've given to our country. And we are there to install new shower heads for them that are handheld and grab bars, just the little things. They're so very appreciative, and we find that to be a very, very rewarding program that we're able to be a part of.
That's great. And as our listeners know, we gravitate to those veterans, and certainly want to do everything we can to bring recognition to the service of our country. For the listening audience that might have a loved one that is anticipating or might even have a need for some type of medical equipment, is there some piece of advice, high-level piece of advice you might give them as they begin looking?
I'd say to really begin now to make yourself aware, because you don't know what you don't know. And there's all types of equipment and items and little to big things that can really make a difference, and it can help you to anticipate ahead of time of what the reality might be as you progress down the road. I know we all are faced with that with aging parents and loved ones, and it's just good to get a great education on the products that are available. We pride ourselves from having the smallest of a little handy bar to help you get in a car to a tricked out automobile. So whatever it might be, if it makes a difference. I had a caretaker tell me that she could not believe what a difference it made for the gentleman she was working with to have this little handy bar to hold on to for getting out of the car, because he had put so much pressure on her shoulder grabbing it, and he was using her shoulder instead of the handy bar. So it was a cute story. And I'll say that to the families. Think about your caretakers. I know your loved ones are important, but let's think about the caretakers too.
Absolutely. Great. Great piece of advice. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
How can our listeners get a hold of you, or how can they contact Mobility Express, or where can they walk in the store?
No, thanks. We're located at 1580 Holcomb Bridge Road. That's 1 mile east of 400. There's a Home Depot right next to us, the flower department, Office Depot in the shopping center. Our hours are from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and then on Saturdays we're open from 10 to 2. We do have a website, wheelchairs, plural, atlanta.com, and our phone number is 770-998-9984. We have a wonderful staff and we're available, like I said, 24/7. So let us hear from you.
That's great. Thank you very much, Sue. We certainly appreciate you being our guest. Special thanks for doing that. And we thank our guest in Texas and Kevin. We also want to remind our listening audience that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Video is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.